It's our privilege today to hear from Bob Kennel, and I do believe it's a privilege. It's a joy for me personally that he's here. I have known Bob for many years. We've had several times together. I can never remember all the places because it's always a different country, it seems like. But through the years in serving in Northern Asia and different places. And I want to say something, but I want to say it with some caveats. My gratitude in saying this is to God, and in saying this, I know that it's God's grace. But Bob's a guy whose passion for the gospel and for Christ has been a huge example for me. He in his 60s went back and learned another language and participated on a church plant after he had already done all that and didn't have to do it again. And then when I found out about that, I had heard about that he was going back. My heart was just overflowing with joy and gratitude for the grace of God in Bob's life and how he has used him. So it's our joy to have Bob Kennel and his wife Nobi with us today. But right now, let's warmly welcome Bob to preach this morning.
Thank you very much, Mike. Nobi and I have very much enjoyed knowing Mike and Maya over the years. My first trip ever to the country of Russia, there was a lovely young lady there named Maya, and I don't know what your last name was at that time, but she was my translator as I had the opportunity to share for some of the Russian people. And she was definitely one of the best translators that I have ever had in speaking, especially in Russian. So thank you, Mike and Maya. Well, good morning. The final day of our missions conference. Thank you all for coming out. We're going to be very honest with you this morning. Well, I'm going to be telling you some stories. I'm going to take you, from the warmth of or from the coolness of Shadron, Nebraska, we're going to go to the jungles of Papua New Guinea. But you know what? The setting, it just doesn't feel right. When we went into Bisodio land, it was warm, it was hot, there were no beautiful buildings like this. We worked with a group of people called the Bisodios. Could we see some of those pictures? I'm going to walk you through a few of the pictures that we looked at the other night on Friday night. Many of you were not here at that time, and so to set the background for what we're going to be talking about today, we're going to go ahead and look at some pictures of Bisodio land to get us into the mood. Next picture, please. When we went to the jungles of Papua New Guinea, when we went in and first had the opportunity of meeting the Bisodio people, we saw some people that looked wilder than anyone I had ever seen in my life. When I went to New Guinea, I wanted to go to the roughest, to the toughest, the most remote area. And then I saw the Bisodios. And I remember thinking very distinctly, surely, Lord, this is not the place that you want me to bring my beautiful wife, my daughter of 3 months of age, and my little two-year-old girl. And I remember the first time I saw the Bisodios, we're standing there waiting for a little delegation to come to decide if we could live with them and share the gospel with them. And then that day, for the first time, I heard the Bisodio chant. And it goes, woo, yo, yo, yo. And so to make us feel a little bit more comfortable and to get into the mood today, we're going to divide right here, okay? We're going to let this group go first, and we're going to see which is the best Bisodios this morning, okay? So we're going to start off over here. We're going to do it together. I will be a very impartial judge, all right? Let's see who can do it best. This side first. I'll do it one more time, and then you're going to join me. Woo! Yo! 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 Woo! Okay, can you do that? All right. You got to do it good. These guys are going to try to beat you. Are you ready? Yeah. All right, let's go. Ooh! Yep! 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 Not bad. But I think you can do better. All right, let's see. Are you ready? All right, come on. Stand up. Let's get into it. Okay, ready. Maybe if you stood, you could have done it. I don't know. All right, come on. This is your try. This is your try. This is your chance right now. Ready? I'm going to battle with these guys. Sorry. Okay, let's go on with the next picture. We moved in with them. We started learning their language. This gentleman right here, his name is Hadibayo. He was the one that first invited us into the Visorio tribe. When my wife and I moved in there, she had never seen the Visorios. She honestly had no idea what she was getting into. And she went up there for the first time. Our house was not completed. We had a partial roof. We had some walls. They were not up. We had no stove. She was cooking outside, out on the open ground. My wife is not one that likes to rough it. When we talk about going camping, it's which motel are we going to? She doesn't not necessarily like out in the wilderness at all. But this woman stayed with me, moved into the jungle with me, and was a tremendous example to the Visorio people. Next picture, please. Our desire was to give them the word of God. I am not speaking in tongues. That is the Visorio language. That is all that they spoke, and they could not speak English. We spent 3 years learning the language and culture of the Visorio people. Next picture, please. We went to their houses. We went out into the jungle with them. We tried to spend as much time with them as we could. We found out that they were headhunters. They were killers. We did not know this when we went in. There were only 4 adult male Visorios that had not taken at least one life. The majority of them had taken multiple lives of their enemies, the Inarus that lived over the next mountain range. Next picture, please. They were fighters. They were animus. Their lives were spent living, appeasing the spirits. Whenever anyone got sick, they would call on the witch doctor. He would come and blow betel nut over their bodies. They would sacrifice a pig. The sick person would place their hand on the pig. They would slit the pig's neck, and then they would offer the pig to the spirit that was causing the sickness. The witch doctor's job was to find out which spirit it was that was causing the sickness, and then they would come up with the appropriate remedy, which was generally some kind of a sacrifice. Next, please. One of the saddest things, and we experienced this the first week that we were in the tribe, the Visorios came and they brought a little baby to us. And the baby was burning up with fever, probably malaria. I gave my first injection that day. And during the middle of the night, we heard the Visorio wail. And it is the saddest, saddest sound that you can hear. Wailing, fear. Which spirit was the one that took this little person's life? And I remember my wife saying to me, Bob, maybe you should go down and see how they're taking this. You know, you gave a shot, you know, last night. How are they going to respond? Because in Visorio land, payback, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. She's saying, go down the hill in the dark. And I'm saying, maybe I'll go when the sun comes up. We're not sure how they're going to be responding to this or how they're going to take it. Next picture, please. Our desire was to give them the word of God. Our desire was to teach them about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go over the story again now. But again, we took 8 months beginning in Genesis 1:1, going straight through the Old Testament, allowing the people to see the holiness of God, their sinfulness, their need for the Redeemer. And when we began to teach them about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, they fell in love with him. Mentioned the other night, my wife was teaching literacy at the time, and this Bisorio boy, right when they began hearing about Jesus, the first sentence he ever wrote was Nama Tsisase Tilimayau. I love Jesus. And he became their hero. When they found out Jesus died on the cross for their sins, they could not believe it. God's own son coming into the earth to take our place and die on the cross for them. The village was transformed. Out of the 100 people that were there for months hearing the gospel message, when they heard the gospel for the first time, 70 of them gave a very, very clear testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. From there, we moved on into the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul became the hero of the Bisorio people. And they came up to us and they said, you know what? We now understand that if we die and if we have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will spend eternity separated from God. They said, what about our relatives? We have got to go and tell them. Can we go to the next picture, please? And the Bisorio, there was a natural progression that began to take place. From our little village, we went, first of all, to a location from Balaibaga to a place called Tsabibi. We didn't know where our Bisorios were going to go. We knew that they wanted to go and share with their relatives, with their friends. So we asked them to pray about where they would like to take the gospel. Unfortunately, the location that they picked was a week's hike away from our village. And it is through rivers, it's through swamps, it's up and over mountains, it's crossing rivers. So we said, okay, if this is the location that you guys would like to go on our first outreach, we will go together. And there was a group of 40 of our believers wanted to go with us. They wanted to be involved in seeing their families and their friends come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you guys, I just want you to know, every time we've done an outreach in Bisorio land, there's been tremendous opposition. Satan hates the gospel. Satan hates the fact that we're in here. And when we made the decision to take the gospel to Tsababi, Satan hated it. And so we're getting ready. My wife and I are out in WEWAC. We're buying supplies. We're getting ready for this trip where we're going to be gone for 6 weeks. If it takes a week to hike there, there was no way I could come back and visit on the weekends. That would have taken way too long. So we knew we were going to be away for 6 weeks. We bought the supplies. Our coworker, George Walker, called us on the radio when we're out there. And he said, Bob, the trip is postponed. The people came in. They said the location we're going to, there's no food. There's no people there. We've got to wait. We've got to let their gardens produce. And then we'll go out together. Disappointed, really disappointed. But we said, we'll wait. We said, we'll give them 3 months. We waited another 3 months. The same word came down. And they said, who are you guys going to teach? Are you going to talk to the dogs? Are you going to talk to the trees? There's nobody there. There's just a handful. You may have five. You may have seven. And the food, the gardens still haven't produced. So what are you going to do? And we got together and we sat down with our leaders and we said, the Great Commission says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It does not say, wait and have them come to you or wait until the situation is perfect, but it says, go into all the world. And we said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go. If we have five people, we'll talk to five. If we have seven, if we have 10, we'll teach them. But we're going to go because there are people over there that will die and spend eternity in the lake of fire unless we share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we did. We got ready to go. I am a missionary, and I've got my jungle boots. Unfortunately, I had not broken them in. We get ready to go. I say goodbye to my wife. I say goodbye to my two little girls. I've never been separated from them for more than 2 weeks in time at this point in time. And you guys, it was hard. It honestly was hard. And we got ready. And I'm the guy that, I'm the great white hunter in Bisodio land. I had a shotgun. So they wanted me to go and shoot pigs. Me with my jungle boots hiking through the jungle. Pigs could hear me coming way before we ever got near them. Obviously, we never saw any. Shot a couple of birds. At least added a little bit to the fire. But I remember that first day walking through the swamp. And we arrived at this little location right on the edge of the swamp, right when we're getting ready to get up into the mountains. I've got these new jungle boots on, 5 blisters on each foot. They gave George and I prize location in this little lean-to. That was what we were sleeping under, just a little lean-to out there in the middle of the jungle. The rains began at about 5:30 at night. The water came off the roof right into this little, it's almost like a little ditch that I was laying in. The water is filling up. It was miserable. The mosquitoes being at the edge of the swamp, you're hearing them all night long. And they were ferocious. To top it off, there's no nice way of putting this other than the fact that, just to tell you, both George and I, day one, came down with diarrhea. And you guys, it was miserable. My feet are hurting. My stomach is hurting. The mosquitoes are buzzing. I'm laying there in a pool of water. And I remember about 3 o'clock in the morning, George and I made our little trip down the hill. And I turned to him. I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my kids. And I said, George, I want to go back. I want to go back. 6 weeks away, man, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And we just stopped right there, and we prayed, and we found our encouragement in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, you guys? It didn't get any easier the next 5 days as we're walking over there to this place called Sabib. I'm gonna tell you one more. My wife, if I go on a rabbit trail, she starts going like this to me. Well, this isn't going to be a full rabbit. It's just going to be a little bunny, okay? But we got over. Day 4, we come. It's been raining every day. We come to the Salome River. Because it's been raining, the river is at flood stage. I mean, it is ripping, and we're not quite there. We're close to it. George and I can hear it over there in the distance, but they said, you guys, just wait here. We've got to get across this thing. So we've seen these other people make these rafts, and we're going to go make rafts. These are mountain people. They're not river people, but they said, we've seen them make rafts. We know how to get across the river. So you guys just wait here. When we're ready, we'll come and get you. So George and I waited and listened to the river. In the distance, finally they came and got us, and they've tied these big logs that they've cut down. They've strapped them together with vine, and they've got these little rafts for us. So I thought, wow, this is really cool. And they put these vines to the ends of them, and I wasn't sure what that was for, but I figured we'll see when we get in there. We're just getting ready to go, and then I see Loa looking up into the sky and talking, and he was praying. So I went over and I got a little bit closer, and I heard Loa saying, Lord, are we going to make it across or aren't we? I commit our souls into your hands. I said, what? What are you talking about? Are we going to make it or not? You said you know how to get us across this river. I went and told George, and he says, what is this guy talking about? We got up there and they cut these little poles that were just little flattened off things. Not real wide. It's not a paddle. It's just these little poles. And there's one long straightaway where we're located. And so I found out what these, at least what I thought, these straps were that they tied to this raft were. They pulled the raft as far upstream as they could. And then they said, you guys, get on the raft, sit down in the middle, and white man, don't rock the boat. I said, okay, that sounds very good to me. We got on. Everybody jumps on. They start pulling. George and I are sitting there, and then a Bisorio man takes a hold of that vine, jumps into the water, puts it in his mouth, and doggy paddles. And he's supposed to be pulling this raft across the river. We're going along. There's a big log sticking up out in the middle. So if he keeps pulling us, we will hit the log, and that would flip our little raft right there. So he lets go, and he swims to shore. He doesn't swim to our raft. We get past that log. Another guy jumps in. He puts it in his mouth. He starts pulling. He gets tired. He swims to shore. The next guy comes to the edge of the raft. He looks upstream. He looks downstream. He doesn't put anything in his mouth. He jumps in and swims to shore. The next thing you know, it's George and I, an old man, an old woman, and one teen boy. Now George and I have got the poles. We're standing there paddling for all we're worth. The Bisorios, they're now running along the edge. Hey, hang in there, guys. You can make it. That's easy for you to say. But anyway, you guys, right as we got to the bend of the river, the teenager jumped off into the water. He grabbed a hold of this thing, and he's kind of bobbing up and down. But at least we could see his feet are touching ground. There's a chance we can get there. George and I dive in. We go over, and we're all kind of bobbing along, but we're able to hold on to it until the Bisorios got there. We went and looked around the bend of the river, and right where the current would have carried us, there was a huge rock right out in the middle. Big whirlpool because of how high the river was. Huge whirlpool right out in front. Had we not made the edge, it was rather evident what would have been the plight of our little boat there. It would not have been too positive of a story. But it was just God's grace. We arrived at Sababi, and you know what? It wasn't five people. It wasn't seven people. God brought in 28 people. One of them was one of the most pitiful sights that I had ever seen, a blind man named Monoa. And when he heard that we were coming over and we were going to be teaching, Monoa said, I want to go too. And so literally, they take this blind man, full-grown blind man, put him in a string bag and carried him 3 days over the mountains to come to Sababi so that he could hear the gospel. We got there. I was so excited. Went up and said, Monoa, Monoa, we're so glad you're here. He says, eh? We said, Monoa, Monoa, we're thankful that you're here so that you can hear God's word. Eh? He couldn't hear. He had some kind of an infection in his ears, and he could hear nothing. We ended up giving him shots. We had medication along. After 2 weeks, Monoa's ears opened up. Bisorio said to us, well, it's evident. We know what happened. I had been up there to his location teaching him before. I only got as far as Moses. Now is when he needs to be able to hear. That's why God's opened up his ears now. But Monoa was able to hear also. You guys, to make a long story short, the numbers went from 28 to 60. Of the 60 people that were there, 40 of them became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shortly after we went up there on that trip, there was an epidemic hit the hills of Bisorio land. Monoa, along with several others, lost their lives. They died when the epidemic hit. But I can state to you today, Monoa's eyesight right now is 20/20. And unless there's something better than 20/20, because he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord used that in my life, and he challenged me with the thought, Bob, what if you had not gone? What if when your feet were hurting and you had the diarrhea and you were laying there in the little pool of water, you're missing your wife. What if you would have gone back? Those people today would be spending eternity separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just thought, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your enablement that enabled us to keep going and take the gospel over there. It wasn't me. I assure you, it was not me. I honestly wanted to go back home. Last night, we were talking about the fact that 2,000 years ago, Christ gave the Great Commission. And you know what? Every place that I've been able to go, every outreach that I've been on, people have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God prepares a people for himself. God calls a people to himself. Why is it that today, 2,000 years after the Great Commission, why is it that there are still thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ mentioned? Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 6. And I just want to read just a few verses to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. The Apostle Paul says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And I want to state to each one of you today, we have got an enemy. The enemy that we have is named Satan, and he has a host of demons. They hate us. They hate God. They know that God has cast them from his presence, and they know what the future holds for them. They do not want to go alone. Their desire is that mankind, who is created in the image of God, would spend eternity separated from God, would spend eternity in the lake of fire, as they know they will be doing as well. So they are very active on this world, in this world. When I was in college, there was a man whom I admired tremendously. His name was Dick Jones. He was a missionary down in Panama. And the day before he got in his little car, drove down to Panama, I had the privilege of having breakfast with him. And he called me over and he says, Bob, I want to share something with you. He said, Satan's desire for your life is not necessarily that you would fall into gross sin. He said, if you really get off the track, I think he knows that the Spirit of God would work in your life and bring you back to repentance and desiring to walk with God again. He said, that's not what Satan's after. What Satan wants to do is get you off track. What Satan desires to do is get your heart and your life to where you're apathetic, to where you're a Christian, you go to church, you're doing whatever, but you're not really living with a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, you guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Do you know why it is I think that 2,000 years after the Great Commission was given, why that such as the country of Thailand, where we're now living, beautiful people, wonderful people, less than 1% of the 67 million people that live in Thailand are believers in Jesus Christ. Less than 1%. Do you know why I think it is? Do you know why I think the church has done such a poor job? It's because I think we've allowed apathy to come into our lives. I'm just being honest with you. I think instead of having that fire to make the person of the Lord Jesus Christ known, the verses we talked about last night, pleading with sinners to come back to God, instead of that, I think we allow apathy to come into our lives, and we live and we're satisfied, and we come to beautiful churches like this, and we fellowship together, and we enjoy fellowship. Do you know what happened in the New Testament? In the book of Acts, you start reading through it, and it talks about when the early church was being formed, they were enjoying tremendous fellowship, breaking of bread, house churches, eating meals together. They enjoyed tremendous fellowship. But you know what they were missing out on? They were missing out on the Great Commission. They were enjoying one another, but they were not going out. And you know what God did? He sent persecution. Paul came in and started. I'm going to read it to you. Acts 8, 1 through 4. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Verse 4, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. The believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. This weekend is a weekend where our desire is to challenge this church right here. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your heart is at. I don't know where you're at as a believer. But I want to exhort you. If you are right now in a state where you're apathetic, where you're going to church and you enjoy the fellowship and you enjoy the messages, and that's kind of it until the next week, man, I exhort you, get before God. Get before God because he has so much more for you. God's desire is that you will have a passion for him and a passion to make him known. If that is not there, please, please, this afternoon, get down on your knees before the holy God, before the God who loved you, who purchased you with his blood on the cross of Calvary, and repent and get that first love for the Lord Jesus Christ back. Get that passion to make him known. We're going to go, and we're going to go back to Bisodio land right now, and I'm going to show you some pictures. I'm going to show you some pictures of the people that I lived with. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. We had the opportunity to take the Old Testament into them. They've had the New Testament since 1990, but we had never taken in the Old Testament. I say this to my shame. Finished translating it in the year 2000, but it was just a few years ago that we actually finished it and took it in, and that was because Nobi and I were no longer working in Papua New Guinea. We were traveling throughout Asia on behalf of our mission organization, but the people didn't have it, and I want to show you their response when they got it. Just before we go into it, next picture, please. This is a man, his name is Miley. I had the privilege of going with him on our last outreach. And those are Miley's feet. He was just laying down out in the front yard, and I had the opportunity to go over and snap a picture of his feet. He's a man who has gone all throughout Bisorio land because he has a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what Miley said to me once? I asked him if he was going to go down. There's gold in Bisorio land, and they can pan for gold. And I asked him, are you going to go down and pan for gold? And are you going to go and buy your wife a nice dress and your kids, send them off to school or whatever? What are you going to do, Miley? Do you know what he said to me? He said, Bob, he said, I don't want gold to touch the palm of my hand because I'm afraid if I do, I might like it. And I don't want anything to detract me from doing what God wants me to do. And that's to share his word with the Bisorio Nation. Okay. Went back in a few years ago. George and I got in a boat. We traveled 8 hours the way that we used to go in. There was no airstrip when we first moved in. It was by river. And it was 8 hours minimum with no problems, generally a little bit longer with our outboard motors. Some kind of trouble would take place. It could take from 10 to 12 hours just to get home. But George and I had the opportunity to drive up there. The Bisorios knew we were bringing the Old Testament. They were so excited. We pulled up to the bank, and always before when we arrived, the people would come out. They'd be lining the banks. They knew we were coming. And there was nobody there. And we were wondering, what's going on? We pulled up, and you guys, the jungle exploded. It exploded. The people were dressed up in their old attire. They came down. They ran onto the boat. I wanted to take pictures. We couldn't. They came in the boat. They picked George and I up. They carried us up to the bank, put us in the jungle there, and just danced and danced and danced around us. Why? You guys, they got the Word of God. They were excited about the Word of God. I'm gonna just take you through what took place there. Next, please. Or if there's animation, there we go. They dressed in their old attire, and they said, you guys, the reason that we did this, we're not reverting back, but it's just a reminder. We want you to see that we recognize where we came from to where we are today. Finally, we were able to go up to this little house up on the hill that they had made for us. And again, you guys, it would just be spontaneous. They would break out in dancing and singing. Could we have a little bit more volume? Maybe there is no volume on that one. There we go. Excitement at the Word of God. Some of these people hiked 5 days through the jungle just so that they could come and receive God's Word. So that they could come and be taught. How many of you would hike 5 days to get a Bible? You can get in your car and drive to stores, and they're so easily purchased. Next, please. As we're sitting up there, go ahead and start the animation, please. They went down to the boat. They strapped the Old Testaments to these logs, put them on their shoulders, and came up dancing and rejoicing at the prospect of receiving God's word. You've learned how to do this. You know how to make the chant now. Is there a way of going on to the next one? There we go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Next. Tsuruoma, my hero in the faith. He's been all throughout Bisoryo land. If you can get it rolling, please. This man, his body was racked with malaria as we are there. But he just stopped and he prayed. And I'm sorry that it's not there, but he was just thanking the Lord for the fact that George and Harriet, Nobi and I had come to Bisoryo land and given them the word of God. He said it wasn't because they wanted to, but we knew that God loved us, that God sent them here so that we could share God's word with them. Can you move to the next one, please? This is the morning of the dedication of the Old Testament. We went to this little location that we had built, Namolia, if we can get him speaking there. Little of the new with the old, his glasses. He is reading from the Old Testament for the first time, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Can we move on, please, sir? And next, please. We sat there, handed out the Old Testaments to them next, and there was just tremendous, tremendous rejoicing. Next, please. His wife did a little dance, just rejoicing. This is our body of believers there. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. These are our leaders, their wives in Bisoryo land. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love to make him known. Next, please. Our church building, it was loaded, you guys. Loaded for 7 days of teaching, morning and night, as we began going over the passages from the Old Testament together with them. I love this picture, because the one on the left is the New Testaments that they have literally consumed. They are out of them now, because they read, they study, they wore their New Testaments out. Now they've got the Old Testaments there, and I want to state to you, 3 weeks from now, Nobi and I are going to be in Bisoryo land. We're going back to Papua New Guinea after we leave here. We've now put the New Testament and 5,700 verses of the Old Testament together. They will have one volume. And believe me, the things that you saw, I know we will be experiencing them again 3 weeks from now when we arrive there. Next, please. Odea, faithful, faithful man. He is the man that's in charge of our literacy program. Whenever they teach, whenever they bring a new group to Christ, they immediately run a literacy program, and he had just taught 52 new young men and women so that they could read and write God's word. Next, please. It was so exciting for us to see them studying to show themselves approved unto God. Next. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Next, please. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Next. Nobi and I have had a tremendous opportunity over the years to live in Papua New Guinea, to be able to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ in two different tribal areas. We've seen a tremendous response. You know why? Because the Word of God is living. It is quick. It is alive. When the Word of God is shared, people will respond. The Spirit of God will draw them to Himself. I'm going to give you all a homework assignment, okay? And if you want to write it down, you can. This is for everyone that is in here. There is a video on YouTube. It is called Bisorio Land, okay? How many of you have got access to the internet? Come on, get those hands up there, okay? I know you do. Please, will you please look at this? Will you please look at this video that is called Bisorio Land? It's our Bisorio people sharing their hearts with the church in America. It is their desire to have people leave their comforts and to go to places where the gospel has not gone. So I will ask you to please read that. One of the comments in there by Miley, he said, if you get a big sick and die, where will you go? You'll go to heaven. What's so bad about that? Come over and help us. Come over and help us, because there are many that are still living without the knowledge of the truth. Number one, your assignment is to look at Bisorio Land. And number two, I challenge you, every one of you, get before God. Get before God and ask the Creator of the universe, what is the task that He would have you to play in the job of world evangelization? I know for many of you, it's not going to be to go overseas. I know for many of you, it's going to be to remain right here in Chadron. Somebody's moving down to Sydney. I heard about that today. I know a number of you are going to other areas. As you go, take the Word of God with you. As you go, share with those that do not know. But the other group is to those of you that maybe the Lord could be speaking to your hearts, and He could be challenging you with the fact that there are many thousands upon millions that are living in this world today that do not even know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that have no idea that a person named Jesus died on the cross for their sins. There is a day coming. It's described very clearly in Revelation chapter 20. And it talks about every person will stand before the person of God, and they will give an account for their lives. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will live eternity with our Father in heaven. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will spend eternity separated from the Father. Eternity in a lake of fire, heat, brimstone, sulfur, separated from God. What part does God have for you to play in the task of taking the gospel to those that have never heard? Let's pray, please. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity to share Your word, for the opportunity to share about a little place called Bisorio, where there were people that hated You. They were murderers. They were adulterers. They were people who were worshiping Satan, worshiping idols, worshiping images that were made in His likeness, Lord. Today, they're believers in Jesus Christ. We thank You for the power of the gospel. Lord, right now, I pray for the people here in Chadron. Father, I don't know what You've got for them. I know that someone asked me yesterday, do we need more people? Father, we need hundreds more people. We need men and women who feel the hand of God upon their lives, who are willing by faith to step out and go to the hard places, that are willing to go and take the gospel to where it has never gone, because apart from that, thousands upon thousands will die separated from the person of God, from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, work in our midst. Work in our hearts. Give us a passion for you. We sang about a song this morning that said we surrender our lives to you to allow you to use us in the way that you see fit. Father, I pray that those would not just be words, but I pray that each person here would honestly say that prayer before you. Lord, take me and use me as you see fit for your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name.